One night a man had a dream. He dreamed that he was in heaven, and he was going on a tour of heaven. The angel was taking him for a tour of heaven. And the angel took him to one room, first of all, and there were many, many angels in that room. They were very, very busy scurrying around here and there. And the man asked the angel, "What room is this?" "This is where all the prayer requests come in and people ask for things." So they moved on in the tour. They moved to the next section in heaven. And again, it was a large room, many, many angels busy running around, busy seeing to different jobs. And the man turned again to the angel and he asked, "Well, what's this room?" "Oh, this is the delivery room. This is where all the requests are answered and packaged and prepared and sent to the Christians on earth." So they went to a third room in heaven. This was a very small room. There's only one angel in this room, and the angel was sitting and wasn't very busy at all. The man turned to the angel. He thought, "This is a bit strange, a bit funny. It's very quiet in here." He turned to the angel and he said, "What room is this?" "Oh, this is the acknowledgement section." The acknowledgements. In other words, this is the place where the thanksgiving comes. You know, there's a lesson in that dream. So often, we can be guilty of asking of the Lord, and believers can be guilty of sending many requests in prayer to heaven. We ask for this, we ask for that, and of course the Bible teaches that we are to ask for things. But isn't it sad that sometimes we forget to give thanks for the answers to prayer? Sometimes we do forget to acknowledge the goodness of the Lord to us. We've read today in Psalm 144, those great words, that there be no complaining in our streets. That there be no complaining in our streets. That was the prayer of the psalmist. And you know, that should be our prayer today, that there be no complaining in our streets. That we as believers, that we should be delivered from complaining. Over in the New Testament, we read that verse in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." You know, there are a whole lot of Christians who want to know God's will. And they pray, "Lord, will you show me your will for my life?" And the Lord turns around and he says, "Give thanks, that's my will for you." Did you not notice it? "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Before we find out whether we're going to be a missionary to China like C.T. Studd or what the Lord's work for us in our lives is, the first thing we need to do is recognize that thanksgiving is the will of God for us. The Lord wants his people to be thankful. He wants us to count our blessings. That's the hymn that we have sung already today, and that's the hymn that I want us to think about for the remainder of the service. It was written by a Methodist minister from America, a Reverend Johnson Oatman. He was a Methodist minister, but he also held down a full-time job. He was a good man. I don't know how he did that, but he had a full-time job. He was a businessman, but he was also ordained as a minister in the Methodist Church. And of course, there's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes people say today, "Well, why isn't it that preachers and ministers can't have a job and preach as well?" Well, it's to do with time. You ask a man to do a full-time job, he's not going to have very much time to serve the Lord, to evangelize, to visit, to prepare, whatever. But Johnson Oatman, back at the end of the 19th century, he was a Methodist minister. He wrote this great hymn and published it in the year 1897, and has become a firm favorite ever since. Do you know, during the Welsh Revival, wonder if you ever read of the great Welsh revival. This hymn was the theme hymn of that revival. Every service that took place during those great days in Wales, this hymn, Count Your Many Blessings, was sung. The people sung this great hymn. We all want to see revival, don't we? Of course, revival starts in our own hearts, in our own lives. We need to say, Lord, visit us, Lord, with revival, stricken with coldness and death. Where is our hope of survival? Save in thy life-giving breath. But you remember the chorus, Lord, send us revival. Let it begin now in me. Let it begin now in me. Before there's ever going to be a revival in Ulster, it'll start in the individual lives of believers. Because revival is really to do with Christians and the church. There's life there already, but it needs to be revived. And before there's revival on a national scale, there's got to be revival personally, individually. But we all want to see revival. We want to see the cause of Christ go forward. But you know, one way to bring revival is to count your blessings. One way to experience revival in your own life and in the life of the church is to be a thankful person. No wonder there was revival in Wales because they sung this hymn so much, Count Your Blessings. Thankfulness has health benefits. It helps you to sleep better. I wonder, do you find it difficult to sleep at night? There are many, many people who do find it difficult to sleep at night. Well, apparently, according to those in the medical profession, if you're a thankful person, your quality of sleep will be better. Also, you will live longer. That's another well-established fact. A thankful person, a person who's content, who counts their blessings, they're going to live longer. So thankfulness and gratitude has health benefits. We want you to be healthy, so you've got to be thankful. Count your blessings. We need to ask the question today, of course, what does that mean? What does it mean to count your blessings? Well, let me say, first of all, I don't mean that you bury your head in the sand and pretend that you've no problems. Don't be like the ostrich that buries its head in the sand. No, we're not asking you to do that today because you've got problems, you've got worries, you've got difficulties. But what we're saying today is that in the midst of those difficulties, we're still to cultivate an attitude of gratitude. You see, that's what the hymn says. When upon life's billows your tempest tossed. When? That's when you count your blessings. When you are discouraged, thinking all is lost. Is that you today? You're discouraged? You think all is lost, maybe in your own personal life or the life of the church, you're thoroughly discouraged. Well, that's the time to count your blessings. Christians do get discouraged. Ministers get discouraged. But that's the time to be thankful, to count our blessings. Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. You see, Paul, to go back to 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul says, in everything give thanks. Now, please notice, he didn't say, for everything give thanks. But in everything give thanks. Paul is not saying that as Christians, whenever terrible things happen to us, that we turn around and say, Lord, thank you so much for that. No, Paul's saying, in everything give thanks. Whenever the hardships of life come and the trials of life come, and there's times whenever you're perplexed and you can't understand why these things are happening, Paul says that's the time to maintain your gratitude. That's the time to be thankful. I wonder, to use the old illustration about the glass, is the glass half full or half empty? Are you a half full person or a half empty person? Are we people who are thankful to the Lord for what He has given us, or are we people who lament and moan what we don't have? I suppose, well, personally speaking, I suppose that we're guilty of the latter. aren't we? We think about all the things we don't have instead of focusing on all the things we do have. You see, we need to realize that we have far more than we deserve. I have far more than I deserve. You have far more than you deserve. And that's what we need to focus on. And we need to count our blessings. Now, let me just make a distinction for a moment between blessings and mercies. You see, blessings are to do with the child of God. Mercies are to do with the person who's not a child of God. You see, if you're not a believer today, you cannot count your blessings because you don't have any. You've got mercies. God has given you mercies. And in Lamentations chapter 3, it tells us there, it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. You see, if you're outside of Christ today, religious or not, it's of the Lord's mercies you're not consumed. If you were to get what you deserve today, God would just cut you down this minute. You wouldn't even reach 12:30 and you'd go out into a lost hell. And that would be what you would deserve. And before I was converted, that's exactly what I deserved too. But it's of the Lord's mercies that he doesn't do that to you. But I wonder how much longer are you going to hold out against him? You see, the Lord's here today in this service, regardless of who else isn't here or who else is here. The Lord is here, and that's all that matters, isn't it? You go into a hospital, you don't turn around and say, oh, isn't it great that there's all these patients here? Isn't it great to see this big crowd today? No, all you're worried about is the doctor or the surgeon. He's here. He's the man who can cure me. And in the church, it doesn't matter, as we said on Thursday night, don't lean upon the numbers because that's like a crutch. Lean upon the Lord. And the Lord's here today and he's here to save you if you're not yet saved. But he'll not always stretch out to save you. You see, the Bible tells us that there's a day coming whenever the Lord will laugh at your calamity. You say, that's a terrible thing to do. Well, that's what the Bible says. You go home, you read Proverbs chapter 1. It tells us there that there's a day coming. The Lord will say, I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. But you say, oh, God loves everybody and God's going to let everybody into heaven and God's going to sweep our wee misdemeanors under the carpet. I'm afraid that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that the Lord is merciful. He wants to reach down to save you, but you're not a robot. He's not going to force you to be saved against your will. And you have got a free will. You're a free agent. You're not a robot. You're not programmed to receive him or to reject him, as some people teach. And the Lord says to you today, what will you do with Jesus, which is called Christ? And God is so good and so gracious that he says, I'm going to allow you to say yes or no. But just beware, if you say no, there might come a time when you say no once too often. And then it will be too late. And then the Lord will laugh at you in your calamity. As you go out into a lost eternity, he will mock when your fear cometh. Yeah, mercies are to do with the person who's not a believer. But blessings, yeah, blessings are to do with the Christian. And we can, those of us who are saved today, we can count our blessings. Christian, are you thankful for the little things in life? You know, when you get up in the morning, and for example today, I just got up today, walked up to the church earlier this morning, the sun was shining, the birds were singing. The little things in life, and the old saying goes, the best things in life are free, aren't they? Do you ever give God thanks that you've got hearing, you can hear the little birds sing? Do you ever give God thanks that you can go out on a Sunday morning? I know yesterday was more like the middle of winter, but did you give God thanks today that the sunshine has returned? Do you give God thanks that you can put your feet out of your bed in the morning? You can get up. You can go for a walk. You've got the health and the strength to go for a walk. You're not like some people in our congregation who are shut in and they can't be here. They would love to be here, but they can't be here. I remember the story, hearing the story of a dear elderly lady, and she was shut in. And her minister went to visit her. And she just said to him, as soon as he walked in through the door, "You know, Reverend so-and-so, I'm so thankful that I'm just able to swallow. I'm so thankful that I'm still able to swallow my food." I would say the average Christian doesn't thank the Lord that they can swallow their food. But you see, that's what we mean when we count our blessings. That's what I mean today when I say count your blessings. You see, we need to count our blessings because very easily we can take them for granted. And what we take for granted, someone else is praying for. Did you hear that? What we take for granted, someone else is praying for. We're so well off in this country. If we only realized it, we're living in the lap of luxury compared to the vast majority of the world's population. Sure, you think about the things that we throw in the bin. You know, the average contents of the average household in our little country, you know, it just shows how well off we are. I mean, you think about those things that people throw in the bin today, and there's people in the third world, and they would love to have them. We're so well off, and we don't realize it, and so many people fail to count their blessings. There's another story told of a little man. He lived in a little humble cottage, and remember that whether you live in a cottage or a mansion, where Jesus is, 'tis heaven there. But the little man, he lived in a little tiny humble cottage, and the minister went to visit him, and he just had a little piece of bread and a little water. But he was a believer. And as he gave thanks for the bread and the water, he just said, "All this and Christ too. All this and Christ too." Friends, brothers and sisters, as we think about all the material, temporal blessings that God has given to us, we can say with that little man, just like that little man, "All this and Christ too." Just to think that we've not only got the temporal blessings, but we've got the greatest blessing of all, the blessing of sins forgiven. So we are to count our blessings. That's what the Bible teaches. I want to inspire you today as we finish. What is the greatest inspiration for counting your blessings? What is the greatest motivation that would make you and I today count our blessings? It's a person. Christian, if you're saved, those of us who are saved today, it's your Savior. Let me point you to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the greatest example of someone who counted his blessings. Come with me to the upper room. And if you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The passage we read at communion services, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." Now notice this. "And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you.'" The Lord Jesus, he took the loaf and he gave thanks to God for what was about to happen to him. His body, symbolized in the bread, his body was about to be broken to pieces. His body was about to be mutilated. He was about to be wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And he was about to go out to Calvary and all the agony of the cross. And what does he do? He gives thanks. Oh, he counted his blessings. What an example to us. In everything, give thanks. Count your blessings. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you.
Count your blessings.